Hello everyone, this is Eric with Nutrition by Eric. I hope you're doing well. It's been a while since I've made a podcast, so sorry for the delay. I've been with some family here in Florida and kind of been busy with that and not really had been in the mental space to make one. So today's the day. I think I get back on the back on track and do one. So today's discussion will be on growing food. And if you're in a big space, of course that's farming. If you're just doing it at home, it could be a small farm or a garden, a vegetable garden perhaps. And there's a lot going on in the world. If you read some of the alternative news and even some of the mainstream perhaps, you'll see there are some kind of dynamics happening. High gas prices and logistics issues and grain from, I think from around Russia, Ukraine may not be getting around the world to the United States or wherever. And many other things going on. So if you're not already, it might be time to take matters into your own hands and start growing something. Whether you live in a house, an apartment, a condo, a townhouse, a duplex, a triplex, whatever, treehouse, you name it, I think you can make something happen. Of course, the easiest is if you have land or you have a house, you can just go in your backyard and have at it. Now, where right now we don't have that as easily. If you're in like an apartment or a condo, you can't go, tearing up the lawn usually. Unfortunately, there's landscaping, there's gardeners, and they have things growing for that look good, but usually they don't let you play in the dirt as you would at the house, and that's one challenge right away. So depending where you're at, you might want to, assess your situation. And, if you want to start growing things, you can grow simple things like lettuce, and you can grow, there's even gadgets out there. I'm just trying to remember the name. A friend of mine told me there's a machine that's basically, as simple as you can get, and you just, AeroGarden, that's what it is. Should probably get a link from them, but yeah, just AERO garden, AeroGarden. And that is one thing I just heard of from a friend. I'm not doing it, but my friend is. And they have the lights and the seeds and whatever. I don't even know. I don't have it. I'm just sharing something I learned. But let's just cover a quick scenario, a few quick scenarios. If you're in an apartment or a condo or a place where you just have like a patio or a railing, maybe you have a porch or a balcony, you can have like a little container that sits on a something high, like a pedestal, or just put some on your patio, and you can find out. You just search. I don't even know what is the easiest. I think lettuces are just what is the easiest to grow, on a balcony. And as you may know, you may want to assess, depending on what level you're at, if you're interested in gardening and growing something you can eat. Talk to a few people. You can always look up people who are growing food. Whether now there's lots of words for that. There's maybe just gardeners, or I like the app Nextdoor. This one word, nextdoor.com. Yeah, and you can search for like gardening group or vegetable garden group or Facebook or so, or just type in a search engine. Now, I don't use Google a lot because I just don't. A lot of times these big tech companies do kind of do things to the searches, so they're not always even searches, or we could say maybe there's certain things that are done to the way the search results are. They're altered a little bit. That might be safe. You can use, other ones. There's well, if you want to stick with Google, that's fine. Or there's QWant, Presearch, DuckDuckGo is a good one, but I think it's been compromised, as I've heard. But there's plenty of information if you just want to watch YouTube videos or some other kind of videos for general information. Or you could find maybe somebody locally. What I found that most states have a university of, your state, Maryland, New York, Missouri, whatever. They usually have like an agricultural division or agricultural school. And usually they can direct you. I was lucky to have find one here, and a real nice guy was working there, and he works there rather, and he's given me a lot of information. But yeah, look at your environment. If you want to grow something, I suggest you do because of what's going on in the world. We've been, if you've grown up in the last 40, 50 years, anytime in that time frame, we've all been kind of dependent, unless you're homesteading, on going to a store, whether it's a Safeway or a King Soopers or Publix or HEB, whatever it is, you go there, that's where you get your food. But not many people, realize that the times there were times like during the Great Depression where people had to have a victory garden and grow their own food. And I believe everything works in cycles, and this might be a time where things start falling apart in a way, and it would be very important to grow your own food. And what's the old saying? It's better to be really early than 1 minute too late. So it's if you're hungry, you need to you know anything about food, it takes a while. You don't just stick a seed in some soil and boom, and if you have an onion in an hour. No, it takes a lot of preparation, and then it's the art of it. It might be bug control and how much water and how much sun. So it's something very interesting. Now, I know there's a lot of people that are prissy. Not to put anyone down, but someone like they have the nice nails and they don't want to get their hands dirty and grow up in kind of a bougie, sophisticated world. But, times are changing. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but who knows? It's better to be prepared for anything. Hope for the best, to prepare for the worst as well, one of the sayings I've heard. And I try to live by that. So, if you're still into this, you're still listening, congratulations. Let's keep talking about how to make something work. So, even if you grow one thing, if you just grow a little bit of, lettuce or a cucumber or a cauliflower or whatever, it's very empowering, and it keeps you self-sufficient and saves you a trip to the grocery store. However, there's so many cool things. I've seen videos of people that take like things that were going to throw off their plate, the top of the carrot, the bottom of a lettuce, the peelings of potatoes or something, and you can that's all not all of it, but some of it you can use to regrow new rounds of food. So depending on what you have, you can always do something. You can always grow in a pot, or if you have the land, you can just put it in your backyard. You can make a little area. I think a lot of people say a 4 foot by 8 foot amount of space is a good start. So you can reach it from all, so you can come from all sides, the north, south, the east, and the west. And you want to be able to reach things because you'll be, if you're into this, you'll be pulling weeds, you might be spraying stuff for bugs. And I recommend all organic, by the way, all organic, nothing, no chemicals, no, So I'll just give you from my experience. Again, I'm no expert, but I have grown food. It's just some parts were easier than others. I'll tell you what I've learned and what I've failed at, and how I've maybe it'll help you. So wherever you're at, learn about your environment. If you're in a cold place, that's one thing. If you're in a hot place, that's another. If you're a place with rock, what kind of soil do you have? That is, if you're going in the ground, you can go to the store, you can go to a nursery, you can go to Walmart, you can go to Home Depot, Lowe's, or any hardware store and get dirt. When I was doing it, I went to Home Depot and I went to Walmart. And I just got the best looking, blackest dirt I could find. And I got a mixture of dirt with cow manure. And then I got some dirt with, it was mushroom compost, and it was a big bag for like $5, $5. It wasn't very expensive. I got like 10 of them, I think. And I said I carved out my garden the first time. I bought all these organic seeds. I read online what grows in my climate. By month, and this month, this you could grow tomatoes and beans and sauce and squash and so on. Not sauce squash, but squash. And like I said, I had them growing. I was very pleased with it all. And then they got eaten by something, probably iguanas. So then I talked to this the guy from the local University of Florida Agriculture. That's what called Extension. That's right. Sorry. The University of Blank Agriculture Extension. And he explained to me, you should get this kind of bird netting. Bird netting is looks like a hair net. And I bought it online, and I had put it right on the ground. I some people make raised beds. If you don't know what a raised bed is, just search for it. Search for raised beds, and you'll see you have to use wood or cinder blocks or bricks or something. You're kind of making like a big pot or a chimney, that's or whatever you want to call it, on the ground. And that would have been fine, but I don't want to go through all that. So the ground as it was just fine. So we had these little look like little white picket fences. My niece had left them at the house. She had moved out and left all these. So I put them around another small area. I made a second place for the garden, and I made it where I got a good amount of sun in the morning. So I mixed it, and I kind of dug out some of the dirt that was there, and I put in, as I mentioned, the previous mentioned material, the manure and the good soil, and a little bit of this mushroom compost mix. And it looked, from what I could tell, it looked good. It looked like a good mix. You think about 50-50, or a third, a third, a third, depending if you have all three. And I then the same young man who worked at the agriculture extension in the area said, go to this place, and they have already germinated the seeds, and they've already been growing for a couple of weeks, so you don't have to start with it completely fresh from seed, which you can, but this saves you some time. Let people who have already done it, they already put a hundred of them, a couple hundred of them out. So I picked collard greens and dandelion greens. I just grabbed two of each. They were only $3 each, not very expensive. And I put them in the ground. I put these like little white picket fences. They were about 10 inches high. And I went all around and I put this netting, the bird netting around it. So I covered it almost like a dome. And I put rocks on it and some like metal rods so nothing could burrow underneath it, nothing could come from the top. And I left that on there for quite a while. I'm trying to remember every couple of days to water it. And they grew great. We had a lot of, anytime I go out, I just took a little clipping, took a little scissors, and I would cut away a little bit of the dandelion greens and the collard greens, and I'd cook up enough for me, that lasted me a long time. Instead of pulling the whole thing out of the ground, I just cut a little bit away at a time so it could keep growing. And I thought that was a kind of a neat thing. I think I'd read that somewhere, but I just figured that would be good to do. So that was my experience, my being gardener slash farmer. And I had a nice little side dish of some vegetables. I had four little crops, if you want to call them that. And there's people who really go nuts. They really go out. I mean, I've read people that one guy, he was a, oh, I can't remember his name, but he grew a, he wanted to get a lot of land, and he only had a one-tenth of an acre house, a house on one-tenth of an acre, that is, in California. And he grew all kinds of stuff. I think he was in the military, and he just made it happen. He figured it out, and he kind of paved the way. I forget his name. And there's people like Joel Salatin, and then there's somebody the Good, Doug the Good, or Steve the Good. I forget. He's also good. And there's IAF, the Ice Age Farmer, real sharp kid, real sharp kid. He'll share a lot of stuff that's going on. Might make you a little nervous, make you uncomfortable, but seems to be on the ball. And that was it. I didn't use any pesticides, any chemicals. I didn't even have to spray. Just the netting helped. Just physical barrier. Okay. So if you haven't grown anything, it's fun to try, because you may fail the first time like I did. You may hit it right. You have to kind of, the old saying is, if you want to make an omelet, you got to crack some eggs. Meaning, you have to kind of just try things and see how it goes. And then it doesn't work, try it again. And it doesn't work, just still try again. Can always go on Reddit. I like Reddit a lot. There's a vegetable garden subreddit, and there's lots of resources. Like I said, there's so many resources, probably from the city, the county, from websites, as I mentioned, and Facebook and Twitter, and God, there's probably so many resources I don't even know half of them. So that's the bulk of it. Other things I'll bring up is if you do have bugs that maybe. And you don't have the netting, you might have to figure out how to get rid of bugs. And that is organic weed control, organic, oh, you have weeds too, may come up too. Another thing, might have to do that. I had to pull a few weeds. But bug control, maybe sometimes you can use like soapy water, I believe. I've read things, I've read garlic, or maybe garlic crushed up. There's something called the Farmer's Almanac. I think there's two versions of that. That's an interesting magazine or online or website, of course, you can find it there. There's garden planners, there's all kinds of things. This whole world of garden is fascinating. There's companion planting, where you pick things that go well together, like a carrot may be good next to this plant because the carrot gives off nitrogen, and another plant likes the nitrogen but gives off phosphorus, and the carrots like phosphorus. I'm kind of making it up, but that's the idea where they are beneficial to one another. And of course, you have to time it. Some things don't grow in the summer, but they grow in the winter and in the spring and the fall. You know, and it grows. Some things grow in a tropical climate, like avocados, but some things are more hardy and more developed, more suitable for a colder climate. So it's fascinating to kind of tweak it. And if you're a DIY, do-it-yourself kind of person, and you're already tinkering things, this is a nice extension to that. Another guy I'll mention is Mike Adams of naturalnews.com. Sometimes a little bit, what he writes can kind of, it can shake you up, some of the information there. But the guy's real smart. He's in Texas and he knows a lot about, there's all kinds of other gardens. There's so much, this is what makes it interesting. There's so many variations. There's ways to grow food without any soil. There's hydroponic, where you just have water. There's so many neat things. Like I'm pretty new. I consider myself a novice, but I still, I'm fascinated by it all. And of course, we all need to eat, and we all take for granted. Most of us take for granted how we get our food, and the food's always there. But what if not? What if you go to the grocery store and there isn't food? And that, what I was focusing on is just no vegetables. What about other things like grains? I don't know much about that, but if you want to grow the grain things, you like bread things for, bread is made out of wheat, as you probably know. And how do you grow wheat? How do you turn wheat into bread and rice? And and then so we've covered vegetables and carbohydrates. And what about meat? Or if you don't want meat, how about legumes? Pulses, other lentils, or actual beans. Now I started growing beans too. That's one that got chewed up by the iguanas or whatever. Lima beans, black beans, pinto beans, etc. What about bushes that grow strawberries or blueberries? What grows as a plant? What grows as a bush? What's a tree for fruit? So you can kind of break it down if you don't already know. And if you can, I recommend going to a farm where they grow food. Go to farmers markets, go to farms. Again, it's a rich subject. Food is so pivotal, so central, but most people don't really know where it's from and how they differentiate. What is a, fruit grows on a tree, but a berry grows on a bush, and vegetables, grow in the ground, and potatoes grow underground, if I remember correctly. So it can be really fun, really empowering, and again, it makes you independent. Okay, God forbid something happens to wherever you get your food, and you can't get it from that place anymore. Or there's a fight in the grocery store because there's only, a small amount of things that you want to buy. So I suggest getting as self-sufficient as fast as possible. And if you're not already, stocking up on stuff. You may know the term prepper. Buy what you need. Buy a couple weeks, couple months worth, 6 months, a year, whatever amount of food you can store, and that might be also important. Again, hope for the best, prepare for the worst. Don't know exactly what's going to happen. Worst case scenario, you have extra food, or you can share it with your friends and family. It's hard to say. You can read people that say nothing's wrong, everything's great. In fact, it's improving. Some people say the sky is falling. Every store is going to close down tomorrow. So who knows? But with that uncertainty, and since we really don't know, why not? Do the best you can and plan ahead, okay? So hopefully that explains it. Give you some idea, kind of a primer on micro farming or vegetable gardening, growing stuff you can eat basically. A couple quick things I'll mention also, be mindful of sun and water. You have to have enough sun. You have to read about read some of the, some things don't want too much sun. Some things can be in sun all day. And water, where are you gonna, you have to water things, of course. Where are you gonna get your water? Is it from a well? Is it from city water? Or what have you? And then you can combine it. This can all branch off into so many different directions. Growing and a proper farm, like with completely self-sufficient, off the grid, homestead, Weston Price Foundation, living in a tribe, or living in the Amazon or in the wilderness. So if it works for you, there's wonderful, wonderful people out there. There's Lynette Zeng. I want to mention her. She's got her own thing growing, going in the southwest of the United States, and I think she's growing food on like a quarter acre, and she's got all kinds of stuff. I recall it's like she's growing shrimp, and can make a fish farm, and the water from the fish can can help with the watering of the plant. So it gets very interesting. So let's go through my notes here. I think I got everything. Bug control, critter control. Last thing, if you're gonna get seeds, yeah, stock up on seeds too, because it may be hard to get things in the future. Yeah, maybe not, but you can buy. Like I bought seeds on eBay. Just look for organic seeds. I had a thing from the county. It says what to plant every month and for the next few months. Okay, tomatoes are coming up. Okay, it's time to. I bought some. And if you go on eBay or anywhere else, other heirloom, HIER, heirloom seeds, all kinds of weird things. I never knew. There's like so many variations of food. We just see like red tomatoes in the grocery store or one or two types of the food you're used to, but there's usually very many interesting variations. There might be 100 types of tomatoes. There's yellow tomatoes, there's heirloom tomatoes, there's purple tomatoes, there's big ones, there's small ones. So what's also interesting, you may learn about different types of food that may be from different parts of the world that you can also educate and get exposure to. And it's something interesting. If you have friends over, if you have cookouts, you can say, what's this? Oh, this is my Thai basil with purple polka dots. I don't know. It might be something interesting out there. So I hope it helps you. If you have something to share, yeah, please go ahead and share it. If you have something to add that's helped you, it might help another. I have, like most people that are posting, I'm on some of the well-known social media platforms. Everything is Nutrition by Eric. So it's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, my website, of course, nutritionbyeric.com, YouTube as well. So feel free to share. If this helped you and you think it'll help someone else, please forward this podcast to somebody else as well. And I appreciate any support. Anything can be, I have a few items. If a quick plug, a quick sharing of that is go to my website, nutritionbyeric.com, and I have a shop link, and there's things like t-shirts I've designed. There's the broccoli fists, the infamous broccoli fists. If you don't know what it is, please go check that out. And that's in hoodies and t-shirts and stickers and all kinds of stuff. And that's about it. I'm very grateful if you've listened through this this far. I am very grateful to you rather, to listen in and be a part of this. And if there's anything you have a question on, please contact me. You can reach me through, well, most of the other channels I've mentioned, the avenues I've mentioned, the methods I've mentioned. Or just drop me an email at hello@nutritionbyeric.com. So that's it for now. Stay safe, stay healthy, keep progressing to your better and the best version of yourself. And until next time, take care.